our Silver Jubilee, the 25th birthday of the National Broadcasting Company. Like any birthday, the birthday of NBC is a time for reflection and recollection. Were you listening to Ed Wynn at 9:30 on a Tuesday night in 1932? At 7 o'clock on a Wednesday evening in 1929, were you listening to Amos and Andy? Or were you listening to Rudy Valley's Great Variety Show at 8 o'clock on a Thursday evening in 1934? Now, these were great moments in the history of NBC, and ordinarily it would be impossible to relive them. But we are fortunate in having had with us for the past 20 years a man to whom nothing is impossible. I refer, of course, to the resident of 79 Wistful Vista, Molly's husband, Fibber McGee. As we look in on the McGees, Fibber is tinkering with his old 1926 Super Heterodyne radio set. He is, in fact, known as the biggest tinker in radio. Mrs. McGee makes a fairly safe statement. She says,
"It'll never work, McGee."
"What do you mean it'll never work? My gosh, Molly."
"Let me get this straight again.
Yeah?
You claim that you can fix this radio set so it'll tune in programs that were broadcast 20 years ago?"
"25 years ago, even. I'm rewiring it so I can tune it to different years instead of different stations, you see."
"No, I don't."
"Well, look, Tootsie, according to the McGee theory of radio Dianetics, which I'm the guy that thought it up, I claim that when you hear a broadcast once, that ain't necessarily the end of it, see? It don't just disappear. In other words, old radio programs never die."
"I know one that dies every Tuesday night."
"Well, that ain't what I mean. I mean, they're still out there, bouncing around in the air, waiting for somebody to tune them in again. And I'm the guy that can do it."
"What's our congressman's phone number?"
"Why?"
"Well, if there isn't a law against that, I'll help him write one."
"Oh, yeah. You change your mind when I get this baby working, Molly. Need to make a few more adjustments here. Get the king bolt tightened up a little bit. I'll be ready to try it and..."
"You want to buy a duck?"
"No, I'm not interested in any poultry, bud. I'm trying to..." "Hey, who said that?"
"Why, I don't know, McGee. There's nobody here but us."
"Doggone it, turn off the radio, will you, Molly, while I work on this?" "Radio. Hey, the radio. It's working. You hear it, Molly? It works."
"Hush, listen. My goodness, it sounds like New Year's Eve, McGee. I wonder where that..."
"Boy, oh boy, I told you I could make it work and..."
"You nasty man!"
"McGee, that's Joe Penner. Why, he used to be one..."
"Listen.
Elsa.
Remember him? Ben Burney?"
"Oh, yes. I used to love him."
"Smarts of time. Everybody wants to get into the act."
"My gosh. Tony Wands."
"Oh, McGee, that's Jimmy Durante."
"Oh, yeah, Jimmy Durante. Boy, this is wonderful. Gee whiz, I can tune in any program I want."
"Hush a minute, hush. Let's listen to this one first. What year now are we listening to?"
"I can't tell yet. The dates are all scrambled up on the dial here, but I can fix that."
"And my name, darling, is Lula Bankhead."
"You hear that? I got Congress, Senator Bankhead."
No, that...
"Got a deep voice on him, hasn't he?"
"No, McGee, that was..." "My goodness, this is exciting, McGee. Can you tune in just any program you want to hear?"
"Anything back to 1926. That's when the first big network started. NBC in 1926.
Oh?
That's when we bought this old Super Heterodyne, remember?"
"Oh, do I remember.
Yeah.
You lugged this thing home, strung about 200 feet of aerial around the roof, plugged it in, turned it on, and blew out fuses that we didn't even know we had."
"Yeah, but remember the first program we ever heard on it? There was a band out in Kansas City."
"Oh, yes. The Nighthawks."
"Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Coon Sanders and their Kansas City Nighthawks."
"Yeah.
Wait till I tune this. 1926. There."
"Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pat Kelly greeting you from Kansas City, where NBC is presenting the Coon Sanders Nighthawks Orchestra."
"Oh, that's
you
it, McGee.
There,
that's
just
them.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy yourselves now while the Coon Sanders Nighthawks go to work on Some of These Days."
"I told you this baby would work, kiddo. Boy, oh boy, is this ever jazzy."
"Wonderful."
Terrific.
Isn't this nostalgic, McGee?
Yeah. Brings back a lot of memories, too. Remember the night we put this radio out on the front porch and threw a block party for the neighbors?
Oh, wasn't that fun? We put up ropes and danced in the streets. You did a pretty sharp Charleston, too.
Yeah, I'd have done even better if the street had been paved. Gravel kept getting in my shoes.
I had a new dress for that night, remember? It was trimmed with monkey fur and had a hemline just below my knees. That must have been around 1928, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when it was, around election time. Big argument broke out about Al Smith and Hoover.
Yes, and you tried to explain to me which one would make the best president. Only you weren't sure yourself, and wait, listen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Amos and Andy would like to say a few words to the listeners.
Listen, Amos, you don't know politics like I do.
Tell me this, though. Why can't they have a Democrat and a Republican president at the same time? Let Hoover be president for 1 week and Al Smith be president for next week, you see. Ain't no use to have no hard feelings.
Amos, the president of the country don't have nothing to do now. The trouble with that is the Republican would get everything messed up for the Democrat and vice versa.
And what?
Vice versa.
He ain't running, is he?
Who ain't running?
Bryce Vissers.
I didn't say Bryce Vissers. I said Vice Visser.
Is he a Democrat or a Republican?
Oh. Listen, Amos, the farm situation. You take the Hogan-McGarry bill.
Take it where?
Take it anywhere.
What is I going to do with it?
That is the question. It was vetoed.
It was?
And not only that, the farmers is so mad about the Hogan-McGarry bill being vetoed, today is liable to elect the candidate for the vice president, president.
Well, what do Coolidge say about all this?
He do not choose.
Maybe his wife made him stop doing that.
The thing we has got to do, Amos, is to make up our minds if we is going to be Republican or Democrat.
I believe I'll be a Democrat.
But I'm going to be a Republican. You go ahead, be a Democrat. You is crazy.
You was all right, ain't you?
Certainly I was all right.
Then I'm glad I was crazy.
You know, that's the clearest explanation I've ever heard, McGee.
Oh, that's about the way I explained it to you at the time, Molly. Them guys just simplified it a little and...
Tune in some more. Go ahead. Get some music. Okay. Remember the music appreciation hour?
Oh, Spike Jones, sure. Let me see if I can get that. I'd like to hear that.
No, no. That was Walter Damrosch, McGee.
Watch your language.
You know, he always used to open up with...
Good morning, my dear children. I've had no chance before, so if it's not too late, let me wish you a happy new year, and may it bring you lots of music, and a greater and greater affection for it, so that you really become music lovers.
Hey, you do a good imitation, Molly. Sounded just like... Oh, that was him. I didn't realize you were tuning the set yourself, and you could... Oh.
Listen. Oh.
Silence, il prate, à cheval roule. Baritone Lawrence Tibbett and his spirited and colorful singing of the famous Toreador song in the role of Escamillo. In just a moment, as the Toreador, he'll be swaggering over to the gypsy maid and flirting with her as today's Metropolitan Opera performance of Bizet's Carmen continues.
Oh, just listen to that applause.
Well, he deserves it. The boy's got a nice voice.
That was back in the early 30s, wasn't it? Must have been around 1932.
Boy, what a year that was in history. Good and bad. There were three things happened that year that I guess most of us will never forget, Molly.
Historic events, you mean?
Yep. The Japanese took over Manchuria, Roosevelt was elected president, and a batch of Uncle Dennis's home brew blew up in the basement.
Heavenly days. I'd hardly call Uncle Dennis's misfortune a world-shaking event.
Well, it sure shook the house, kiddo. Them windows rattled like
this. Besides, dearie, it wasn't home brew. It was root beer Uncle Dennis was making.
Well, he put a little too much yeast in that batch. I remember his Sunday vest was hanging on the basement steps and four bottle caps went clean through it.
Well, let's not discuss it now because I
even wrote a poem about it at the time. It went yeast is yeast and vest is vest.
Please, McGee, let's skip the rest.
Okay.
And you ready to know.
some wonderful programs started back in those years, McGee. The early 30s, remember?
Yeah, a lot of great comedians. Jack Benny started on NBC about then, didn't he?
Yes. Burns and Allen.
Mm, their cousin Fred.
I guess people were ready for laughs in those days, dearie. After the market crash and the Depression, the people needed a laugh.
Well, they got them, too. NBC had some of the greatest...
One of the mysteries of show business...
Oh, wait a minute.
...comparative obscurity of Joe Penner. Somehow he has never had...
Oh, Rudy, that!
Penner was funnier.
Oh, was I ever greedy about him.
Joe Penner?
No,
I think Joe is a really great comedian, and I'm sure you will soon agree with me. We present Joe Penner.
Hello, Rudy. You want to buy a duck?
No, Joe, I don't want to buy a duck.
Why?
Because.
Well, maybe your brother would like to have one, huh?
I haven't a brother.
Well, if he had one, you think he'd consider it?
No.
Under no circumstances?
Under no circumstances.
You nasty man!
Yes. What's on your mind, Joe?
Really, I'd like to tell a little joke here while I'm out here.
Go ahead.
Well, it's a two-people joke, you see, and you got to have two people to tell it. So I'll go out and get another fellow.
Wait a minute. What's the matter with me? I'll be very happy to assist you.
You want to be one of the people?
I'll be very happy to be one of the people, yes.
You'll be one of the people, and I'll be the other fellow, see?
All right, fine.
I'll come up, and I'll meet you over here. I'll come up and say, hello, Rudy, see? Yes. And then you say to me, hello, Joe.
Yes.
That's my name, Joe, see? Yes. And then I'll say to you, why is a kiss over a telephone like a straw hat, see?
Let me see if I understand this correctly now. You say to me, why is a kiss over a telephone like a straw hat?
Yeah, and then you say, I don't know. See? And then I tell a joke. We separate now. Hello.
Hello, Joe.
No, you gotta act. You gotta do it with feeling.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Hey, that's too much feeling. Why is a kiss over a telephone like a straw hat?
Because it isn't felt.
I'm going on and get another fella.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
What's up? You say, I don't know. I tell a joke because you tell it. There's no sense to me coming around here. I got another one.
All right, let's hear it.
I'll say to you, what's the easiest way to raise corned beef and cabbage?
What's the easiest way to raise corned beef and cabbage?
Yes. And then you say, I don't know. See, I'll tell a joke.
It's my turn!
What's the easiest way to raise corned beef and cabbage?
With a knife and fork.
This is the last one. I'll say to you, what kind of a chicken lays the longest?
What kind of a chicken lays the longest?
Yeah, that's what I say to you. You say to me, can you say, I don't know?
I don't know.
That's it, I don't. Give me a chance, will you, please?
Hello, Joe. How are you?
What kind of a shot? Dead one.
This is just a wonderful idea of yours, McGee. I don't know how you ever thought it up.
Radio? Oh, I didn't actually think up radio all by myself, Molly. There was a guy named Marconi that gave me the idea.
No. I mean fixing this old radio to tune back into the past.
Listen. Know who that is?
Ben Burney.
Yep, the old maestro himself. Remember how him and Walter Winchell used to razz each other? They had some of the...
Love me forever. Winchell, I hope you're listening. That reminds me. I don't know why all them oil companies have to go to Ethiopia for gas when it would be just so easy to lay a pipeline direct to Winchell, if you know what I mean.
This is Ben Burney, the voice of experience speaking.
Elsa. And now the time has come to lend thine ears to au revoir, pleasant dreams. Au revoir, pleasant dreams. Think of us when requesting the theme. Au revoir, a fond cheerio, a toodle doodle, a bit of a tweet tweet, God love you, and pleasant dreams.
pleasant dreams.
Boy, him and Winchell used to insult each other right and left, didn't they?
Yes, but you know something? I always had a hunch they were just joking, McGee. I think they really liked each other.
You think so? Winchell was one of NBC's big stars in them days, you know. He did his first broadcasting there.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I'm the guy that helped Walter get his start there, Molly.
You got Walter Winchell started at NBC?
Well, it was in front of NBC, as a matter of fact. His car was stalled, and I give him a start with my car. Hey, if we ever bump into him again, remind me to ask him if he found my front bumper guard hanging on.
It's something funny.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Clang, clang.
Pull yourself together now.
What is this sound I hear?
Bill.
Ah, that's the stuff.
Out at the house the other day, Tony gave me a couple of pills.
Boy,
what for, Bill?
Wonderful.
I was suffering from swollen thighs. Sitting down too much, I suppose. They made a mistake and brought me camper balls instead.